grace and peace be with you. Please be seated and let's light the candle.
Christ, light for the world.
We come to our call to worship. God of peace, angels sing your praise. Incarnated Christ, by highest heaven adored, God of light and life, let your spirit touch us and our world with healing wings. Amen. There's two announcements this morning, two sad announcements. Lois Kushu has died, and her service of thanksgiving for her will be this Wednesday at 2 p.m. here in the church. Dewa Carr passed away on Friday, and his service of thanksgiving will be next Friday at 1:30 here in the church. And because there has been a very long-standing relationship with Jenny that goes back 100 years, literally, John's two aunties and Dewa's mother looked after Dewa and John and read them stories, and from there on, there's been a very, very close connection. And Jenny has traveled with Dewa in the last couple of months as he became more and more gravely ill. And we felt that it would be a positive thing if Jenny took this one funeral after retirement. So after a lot of consultation with Jenny, family, and everybody else involved, Jenny will be back for that funeral and be taken to his funeral next Friday at 1:30. You've seen the colourful blankets in the narthex. There's 42 more than ever before, and I don't need to tell anybody just the incredible amount of work that has gone into that and how many hands that have worked on it. It's just great to see it. Now, we started the service with Hark the Herald Angels, and some of you might have thought maybe it is Advent already and I'm 2 weeks behind. No, it's not Advent. There's a reason why we chose to sing that hymn. One of the lines, he'll rise with healing in his wings, comes back in one of the readings from Malachi this morning. So there's a connection there. But also, this week, one of the world's most powerful nations has been choosing itself a leader. And the result of those elections has come up with that has surprised many and has caused people to feel dismay, fear, and insecurity around the globe. There's less confidence about what the future will bring all of a sudden, and all sorts of possible, mostly worrying scenarios have been talked about in the media this week. So how do we respond to that in faith? And my response, what I've come up with, reflecting on the readings for this week that proved very appropriate, is to sing Hark the Herald Angels at the beginning of the service. That, in the end, is the response of faith. In the midst of an unsettling reality where we cannot but feel deep concern about where the world might be heading, there's one thing that is our focus. The Lord has come. We follow one Lord and serve one God, a God of inclusivity, love, compassion, and generosity of heart. That's what we live out, That's what we commit to. And if that is in danger of being forgotten, we stick to our faith, the faith that there is a pattern to follow where fear-mongering, selfishness, greed, and inciting hatred for our own gain is not part of the picture, full stop. We come back to our conviction and redouble our attempt to live it out, to be true to Christ as much as we can manage. And that's why we started the service with that hymn, because it's Christmas every day. Christ is come, Christ has come, and is coming and lives among us, and we know that wherever that happens, the angels sing and heavens praise God. Today is also the Sunday closest to the 11th of the 11th, and we remember those who gave their life for peace, for the freedom and well-being of others, for those who didn't let fear keep them from standing up for a better world. That's one often very costly way in which people can and do work for a better world and a safer future. But there are other ways: knitting blankets, sewing quilts, Good Grub, the Water Appeal, Sunshine Mission, support and care for each other in and outside this congregation, prayer, choosing our words carefully, being generous, gracious, conciliatory, tiny little gestures, just words, a smile. It all adds up. And that's what we've come to practice here this morning, to listen out for words that will support and encourage that frame of mind in us that will bring the kingdom closer. Healing, peace, and justice for all the world and for everybody that lives in it, here and further abroad. Looking for pictures for this morning, Nell came up with a suggestion, and when I went and had a look, there was a wealth of possibilities. So all the pictures this morning are but one, and you'll probably guess which one, are from wall art in Palestine and Syria. So they're all contemporary pictures of art that artists have painted on walls, the wall in Palestine and also on walls in Syria that are still standing after everything that's happened. And some of it is really, really amazing. So that's what the pictures are coming from this morning. Let us pray. God, we pray, in a world full of walls, where division and conflict wreak havoc with the lives of so many, where greed and hunger for power too often forget the poor and the vulnerable, forget to shape the story of peace and healing, of justice and compassion you invite us to be part of. For a better world, we come to you at the beginning of this service, aware that if we open ourselves to you, you will open yourself to us, showing us how and offering us encouragement to hold on to the good news of your love for the world. The good news that however many walls we build, however many barriers we throw up, you will find ways to come and manifest yourself as a child, as a friend, as a stranger, in whom we will see the kingdom values take shape, become reality. You will find ways to open a door to another way of life, to healing and happiness, to peace and goodwill among people, among nations, for your world. Be with us here this morning and touch us with your spirit. Make us hear the song of angels that sing your praises. Make us aware of the presence of him who came to show us your way, now and for the future. Amen. Now, second hymn is O Day of God, Draw Near. Now I'd like the children to come forward because I have to show you something. Only if you want to, of course. There's a lot of adults in this church that wouldn't like to be called forward and sit on the steps. So you've got every right not to want to. Now, and Louise, could you? Louise has got something pretty special, pretty and special with her. come on, let's sit down. Come on. So, look at what Louise has got here. And you can see a picture of it on screen. See that? What you think? Pretty? Too girly? I could see you think that. What did the girls think? Pretty? Do you know what it says? Hayley, can you read it? What does it say? Can you see it?
Prayer book.
Prayer book. N-B-U-C, that's not a word. That is, what does N-B-U-C stand for? North Borwing Uniting Church. Where's that?
Here.
So this is a prayer book for North Borwing Uniting Church. So it's for us, yeah? And we've put some very pretty shiny stuff on it, and look. There's lots and lots of empty pages in it. See that? Now, what this book is for is to put prayers in, to write prayers in. And what we'll do, we'll put it somewhere where people can put their prayers, write their prayers through the week or on Sunday. And then on the Sunday, we'll bring the book forward. We won't read the prayers, because some people will find that embarrassing if that happens. We'll just bring the book forward, and then we will have it on the table and we will include it in our prayers on Sunday morning. Now, why would you do that? Do you need a book to pray?
No.
Where can you pray? Do you need a church to pray? No. Where can you pray?
Anywhere.
You can pray anywhere. So why would you have a special book in the church?
So all the prayers are in one book.
So we bring important prayers together. And the other reason is that some people feel that sometimes it's easier to pray in a church. And some people also feel that it might work better. I don't know about that. What do you think? Would God make a difference to people praying in church or people praying in their bed at night?
Maybe.
We don't know. No, we don't know. I don't think so. I think wherever you pray, it will work. But to bring prayers to church is a special thing because then we share them with each other. And that does make them work better. Because that way we not only share with God, but we also share with each other. And that's why we bring prayers to church. And we've got the candles. I light candles, and maybe, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I light a lot of candles on Sunday morning. And I've seen some people think, they haven't said it, why is she lighting so many candles? Does she like lighting candles? Answer is yes. Do you like lighting candles? I do too. I love it. But the reason why I light candles, so many candles on a Sunday morning, is that through the week, people will ask me to pray for them. And they will also ask me to light a candle in the church on Sunday morning. There are often people that can't be here on Sunday morning or that can't talk about what's bothering them. And knowing that there will be a candle lit for them on Sunday morning helps them because it helps them to know that people will be thinking of them. So that's why I light more candles than the average person does. They've been ordered. So what I'd like you to do, I've got some, what you can make here is a prayer wheel. You'll work it out. There's two parts where you can pray, and that sort of, see that? So that goes on the plate, and then that goes on top, and then you can make it turn, and then it becomes something really interesting. The other thing I want you to do for this service, I want you to be the first people that write a prayer in this book. Yeah? So think about what you want to pray for today. Write it in, and when we come to the prayers, I'd like you to bring the book forward, and we'll include it in the prayers for the first time. How's that? Can we do that? Excellent. Great. So here's the basket. Take it with you and enjoy. And now you know what I do with all those candles. You can ask anytime. If you feel that you want somebody to pray for somebody or for you, just tell me and I'll light a candle for you too, or for somebody you know. We come to the scriptures.
Old Testament reading this morning is from Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evil doers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the teaching of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse. The psalm this morning is Psalm 98, which you will find on page 319 in Uniting in Worship, and we shall read this responsively. Psalm 98, page 319. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. With his right hand and his holy arm has he won for himself the victory. The Lord has made known his victory. His righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the nations. He remembers his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the ocean make a noise and all that is in it, the lands and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. In righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity.
The New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 21. Verses 5 to 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Words to nurture our souls and give guidance to our lives.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading this morning has been from the book of Malachi, and he's one of what are called the minor prophets we find at the end of the Old Testament. They are called minor not because they are less important, but because their books are short and their dates a little bit later than the other major prophets. Malachi is the very last book of those last books, and the chapter we've read today is what finishes the Jewish Bible. The name Malachi comes from the Hebrew and means my messenger or my angel. And the book was most probably written in the post-exilic period after the reconstruction and dedication of the Second Temple, probably during the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. Behind the book is a world of trouble and disappointment. After they returned from exile, with dreams and high ideals about the way they would rebuild Jerusalem and reshape their lives as the people of God, the people have found it difficult to make these dreams and ideals come true. The reality has been one of infighting, conflict, abuse of power, and practices of social injustice. It's against this abuse and injustice that Malachi writes his prophecies, bitterly accusing the leadership in Jerusalem and issuing a warning that God's righteous judgment will strike those who have failed to make things work. Reading this text and reflecting on it in the week before Remembrance Day, I wondered if it would have been like the disappointment after the idealism after the First World War and then after the Second World War failed to translate into a world where there was peace and prosperity for all. People who fought hard, convinced that they would rebuild and reshape the future in a way that had no resemblance to the past, discovering that they return to the same old conflict and strife there was before. It is in that context that Malachi says, "See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, so that it will neither leave root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." And I don't know if you've ever seen calves go out from the stall in spring, but I have. Calves leaving the stall for the first time are extraordinarily happy. And their antics, their jumping and running and playing around, is very infectious and an expression of uncomplicated joy. It is that image that Malachi uses for the day of judgment. It is not a negative image. It's an image of hope and happiness for those who have lived the dream, who have held on to their ideals. For them, Malachi says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. It's a promise. A promise that the arrogant and evildoers who've made everything go to pot will burn up and be like stubble after a fire, with nothing but a smoky memory left. Remember the teaching of my servant Moses, says Malachi, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb. And remember Elijah. He will come again and make things right. Turn people towards each other again, so I will not come and strike the land with a curse. You'll be jumping around like calves in spring, because things will turn out right. God will come with healing in his wings, and the bad guys, the arrogant evildoers who have brought injustice and suffering to God's people, they will go up in smoke. Remember Moses and look for Elijah. That's how the Old Testament finishes. And really how then the New Testament begins. The Gospels portray John the Baptist as the returned Elijah and portray Jesus as the new Moses, rising with healing in his wings, bringing joy to the world, with angel messengers, Malachi, announcing his arrival in the world. It's here, say the Gospels, what Malachi prophesied would be is happening here. Healing, judgment, the wicked falling, the evil doers exposed and turned to stubble. The Lord has come. Hark, the herald angels sing. Jesus, the fulfillment of those hopes and dreams that had died so many times before, defying the forces of evil and death by rising again with healing in his wings. 2,000 years later, we may wonder what has come of that. How much that gospel, that good news has materialized, has become reality, has managed to take shape in people's lives, in the world as a whole. Or if we are still in the days, Jesus announces in Luke 21, the same days Malachi looked forward to in his prophesying, the days of the burning oven, of not a stone being left upon another, of wars and insurrections, of nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes and famines, of dreadful portents and great signs, of persecution and betrayal, of hatred and devastation. Or is it perhaps that these things have happened? Have been happening again and again in the last 21 centuries and more. That it's not one event Malachi or Jesus are referring to, one future cataclysmic event they see coming, but an ongoing, never-ending cycle of disappointment, disillusion, and devastation. Some were looking at the temple. It says in Luke, how beautiful it was, adorned with precious stones and gifts dedicated to God. And we may assume that they must have felt reassurance at the sight, like we might do when we look at the achievements of our culture and civilization.
that all was well, that whatever might happen, that there at least would be something that would remain standing and was solid and secure. Nothing is secure, says Jesus. Not a stone will be left upon the other. The day will come burning like an oven, says Malachi. They are ominous words, scary images, anxiety-inducing language that, in the days after the election of Donald Trump as President of the United States, will sound all too familiar to those of us who read the papers, follow the news, and are connected to Facebook. That the only certainty about the future is uncertain rings probably more true to most people's mind now than it has for a while. I think we have all realized this week how fragile some of the brilliance and certainties of our times are, and how easily what is seemingly solid can change into something else. Having said that, and having realized how the warnings of the possibilities of a day of judgment and reckoning looming on the horizon over the powers, the principalities, the arrogant and evil doers that Malachi and Jesus prophesied would come in their day could be on the horizon for us as well, I think we need to realize that the message of neither Malachi or Jesus was one of doom, gloom, threat, and devastation for their world or for ours. Their words of judgment were directed towards those who were in the business of destroying the dream, of working against God's will and intentions for the world. In Malachi's days, as in Jesus' day, and in the days of early Christianity, when Luke wrote, they were words of comfort, words of assurance that the devastation and destruction people saw happening all around them was not going to be the end of the story. That there would be another story that would continue to be told. The story of righteousness rising with healing in its wings. The story of angels singing another song from heaven. The news of another king come to reign in another way, subverting and counteracting, resisting and reshaping the world, even as dreadful portents and signs were everywhere around. Somewhere apocalyptic literature, of which both the words from Malachi and those from the Gospel of Luke we read this morning are part, somewhere apocalyptic literature says, in all the oftentimes terrifying drama of this world, in all the disappointments and disillusionment of history repeating itself again and again, somewhere in the middle of all those who will tell you that they are the Messiah but are not, there is another power at work, a power of love and generosity, of peace and care, of wholeness and unity among people. All who revere God's name, all who follow in Jesus' footsteps and testify to the gospel and live according to God's dreaming and intention for this world, over them God will spread his wings. They will find Jesus beside them and the Spirit hovering over them. They will find the trust and faith that is needed to keep their integrity in the midst of other forces and different powers that seek to pull them away. All we need to do, no matter who thinks they are in charge, or who makes out that they can get away with injustice and abuse, is stick with it. Stick with God. Stick with Jesus. and follow the path he followed with integrity, obstinately resisting whatever it is that takes away from the wholeness, healing, and peace of this world and its people, continuing to work in any which way we can with the force of love and life that we know to be at work among us, to make it grow in our day and for the future, now and always. Amen. Let us sing, Healing River of the Spirit. Please be seated. We've come to the prayers of the people, and I wonder if the children might want to bring the book forward, or one of you, or all of you. I can come and get it. Thank you. And we'll say a special prayer this morning over this book first. God, we pray that this book may provide a place for people to bring their prayers, a witness to our ongoing engagement with the world and with each other, and testifying to our trust and faith in you. May it be a source of comfort and strength for those who use it, and be a source of spiritual strength and care in our midst. Hear our prayers, written or unwritten, spoken or unspeakable, for the world, for the community around us, for our family and friends, for ourselves, and the joys and sorrows that is part of all our lives that will be written in this book. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you today on the Sunday closest to the 11th of the 11th. We remember those who gave their life for peace, for the freedom and well-being of others, for those who didn't let fear keep them from standing up for a better world. But not only for them, for all people who work for a better world and a safer future, for people who know how to be generous, who do not need to think twice about being loving and generous and compassionate because they've internalized their faith and the way of living you call us to in such a way that it has become second nature. We thank you for all the great things that happen in this congregation and all the wonderful people that are part of it. For those who pray, who care, who knit and sew, who work tirelessly and give money, time, love, and dreaming to make this world a better place where they can with what they have received. We thank you for every little ray of hope and trust that lights up the world we live in, for every moment where your will is done and your compassionate love lived out in ways that heal, that bring peace, and promote justice.
Holy God, before we call you, you answer. And before we speak, you know our needs. Hear the prayers we bring for your people. We pray for our fragile planet and for all who inhabit the earth. May all who are hungry and cold receive your nourishment and shelter. Free your people who feel burdened and exploited, and for those who have been unjustly removed from their land, may they safely come home. Holy God, you can make all things new. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our moderator, Sharon, and for Mark, our General Secretary, so they may continue to help your holy church to keep looking for fresh words and deeds for its ongoing worship, witness, and service in order to remain vibrant and relevant. May all people be included at your table, where division is replaced by unity and your gospel is proclaimed in sacrament, word, and deed. Holy God, you can make all things new. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who revere God's name, all who follow Jesus' footsteps and testify to the gospel, that the image of hope and happiness for those who have lived the dream, who have held onto their ideals, that the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, just as the prophet Malachi has promised in Luke's gospel reading today. Know that Jesus is beside us and the Spirit hovers over us, so that we may find the trust and faith that is needed to keep our integrity in the midst of other forces and different powers that seek to pull them away. Holy God, you can make all things new. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in trouble or need, for a new earth where sorrow gives way to delight and mourning to joy. where fears are calmed and pain is eased. We especially call to mind and remember in our prayers our congregational members who are currently unwell, in hospital or in care. David Smith, Jean Upton, and Betty Herbert. May those who are suffering be comforted, and those who are dying live in dignity and peace. Holy God, you can make all things new. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for all those who have shared our lives and leave behind a heritage of love and inspiration now that they have gone. In particular, Lois Kushu and Yua Kar. We pray for those who mourn a loved one at this time and are trying to come to terms with their loss. Spirit of life, grow in us. Set us free from all that keeps us in death, that we may be part of your everlasting love in life as well as in death. Holy God, you can make all things new. In your mercy, hear our prayer.
And in the silence, we bring before God anything and everything that is in our hearts, joy, concern, sorrow, and even the things we do not have words for. And together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We come to our offering. Let us give with generosity and joy.
Lord God, we bring these gifts, the gifts in the baskets and other things we've given through the week. We bring you our very beings. All we have and are comes from you alone. Grant us wisdom to use these gifts to your glory and the growth of your realm in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, last hymn is for the healing of the nations. May peace flow and healing touch every corner of our world. May the day come where brothers and sisters of every race and culture will live in harmony and war will be no more. May our hearts be open and unafraid, generous and compassionate, full of God's love, living out the life of Christ in this world, changing it towards a world where fear, injustice and suffering reign no more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.